You are tuned to CICK News on 93.9 FM in Smithers. CICK News is your news source for regional and provincial news Tuesdays and Thursdays at 8 a.m., 2 p.m., and 4 p.m. It's hosted by Dan Messick and myself, Pamela Hassan. Find and follow CICK News online at smithersradio.com and frequencynews.ca or wherever you get your podcasts. CICK News is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada and the Government of Canada.
Today on CICK News, earlier this month, Wet'suwet'en land defenders and members of the Otomi, Nahua, Totonaco, and Tempua tribes in Mexico filed a shareholder proposal during a TC Energy's AGM asking for an independent assessment of the financial damage TC Energy has incurred from failing to obtain free prior informed consent from local indigenous groups where their projects operate. TC Energy didn't respond for comment about the proposed assessment. However, members of the Wet'suwet'en in Northwest BC say they will continue to push their divestment campaign. To learn more about this and to what end Wet'suwet'en land defenders will keep up the pressure on TC Energy, I spoke with Toronto-based Eve Saint, a financial divestment campaigner for the Gitanden Checkpoint. Eve, thanks so much for being with us here on CICK News. As you mentioned, you're there in Toronto. It sounds like the Wet'suwet'en, the Gitanden Checkpoint have filed a resolution at TC Energy's AGM. Tell me a little bit about what is included in that resolution and why y'all felt it was time to bring this forward.
Yes. Okay. So, yes, we have filed a proposal, and we are asking that TC Energy do an independent assessment of the financial and time, reputation, and goodwill damage TC Energy has incurred from failing to obtain free, prior, and informed consent for its projects. And so, you know, we have this big, you know, there's this big debate, there's this big argument that, you know, we have experienced opposing this pipeline, that, you know, TC Energy will say that they have had, you know, proper FPIC, but obviously, you know, there actually is no argument because the rightful title holders are the Wet'suwet'en hereditary chiefs, and they all oppose all pipeline projects going through their territories. And so, you know, filing this resolution, we really wanted to, you know, repeat that message and come to their AGM and being like, hey, okay, you keep on saying that, you know, you got proper FPIC, but no, you do not. And, you know, Chief Namox being one of the hereditary chiefs and, you know, saying, hey, you do not have proper free, prior, and informed consent. Like, I am here before you today and saying that, like, yes, we do not consent to any projects whatsoever. And, you know, we also want, you know, accountability. We want them to... And it's funny because, you know, we cannot trust these companies. We, you know, doing this work and, you know, doing this work for a number of years, like I've been doing support work since 2019 and, you know, witnessing them, you know, lie over and over again to, you know, the public, you know, to Canadians and also to their workers, their own workers. And so, you know, asking them to do a review, a report on all, you know, like the financial, you know, overruns, costs, like as we've seen the numbers keep on going and rising up to like $14.5 billion. It's possibly like, you know, over now because I know that, you know, recently that they are looking for like more, you know, money to secure like a $3 to $4 billion in bonds. And so, You know, it's funny because, like, it's going to be interesting. If, you know, obviously they, you know, didn't go for it, but, like, if they were, it would be interesting to what would they write in that report, right? Because on our side, you know, it is well documented, right? All the, you know, delays, all the, you know, human rights violations, all the, you know, destruction of the lands and historical sites, with, and, you know, them not having, you know, the permits and work orders. So like, it would be very interesting to see what they would write in that report, because, like, I for sure would definitely, like, I would know that they wouldn't be honest and transparent, because of the, you know, that has, you know, been, you know, they're, for, to me, they're, that's what they have shown me, that, you know, they're not completely honest.
Well, I guess another question for you, Eve, is, you know, there are a number of band councils that they have got free prior informed consent from, you know, 21 band councils across the pipeline right away. Obviously, the facility is almost complete and will be operational in about a year or so. So maybe give me kind of a thought around that, your impressions on that. You know, if they do have these 21 band councils, you know, how are they able to go about saying that they have free prior informed consent, which clearly, you know, according to you and the Ginnadem Checkpoint, Chief Namox and other hereditary leaders with the Wet'suwet'en, that's not the case.
The history of colonization and the impacts. Yes, so lost along the way of colonization, a lot of, like, you know, nations and indigenous peoples have lost their, you know, their ways, their governance systems, or just, like, their natural law on how they lived before, like, colonization. And so with the Wet'suwet'en, we have never lost that. Like, they still have, we still have, like, that governance system. We still have, like, the Wet'suwet'en law and, like, the potlatch. And we have, the hereditary chiefs and the supporting chiefs, wing chiefs, and the matriarchs, and so there's a whole system still in place, and that system is older than Canada. And so even in 1997, the Wet'suwet'en and the Gikxan have put forward in Canada's Supreme Court that they have never, you know, surrendered or extinguished their rights and title. And even Supreme Court of Canada ruled in favor with Wet'suwet'en and the Gikxan. And so that recognizes that, you know, that they, the hereditary chiefs, are the rightful title holders and have full jurisdiction over their territories. And so with the other band councils, right, not having their own ways, their own laws, like, in, like, recognized as, you know, the Wet'suwet'en, or, like, the structure is the Indian Act. And so the Indian Act, and that's where, like, the chief and council and reserves fall under. And so that was created by, you know, the government of Canada. And so, you know, of course they're gonna, you know, follow their rules and regulations. And then also, because of colonization and Canada, and the government has over time and time again have stolen land, stolen resources, steal our children, our women, our, you know, it's total in, like, destruction and, like, devastating impact. So, you know, a lot of our communities, we, you know, are trying to, you know, I keep on saying, you know, but we keep on trying to do what's best for our people. So I do not blame, you know, are people trying to get opportunities and get, you know, find to help the people. And so with the Wet'suwet'en, I see that, you know, because they follow their law, and their law is and to think about the future generations. And so that's why they took such a strong stance against the pipeline. And so, you know, that has been like, you know, the big major debate and like the difference between, you know, band council and like Wet'suwet'en hereditary leadership. And, you know, I really don't blame. And that's like a tool of TC Energy, and the tool of like the oppressors is to guide us and to have us fighting each other, when really we shouldn't be fighting each other. We should really be fighting, like, you know, white supremacy. We should be fighting, like, you know, these oppressors, like, the, you know, industries, you know, the government, because really them, it's almost like they're kind of like a puppet master, just, you know, putting us against each other. But really, we should be trying to work with each other and try, like, move forward. And yeah, that's a bit of a hard one, you know, the divide and conquer. Mm-hmm.
Just the last thing for you, Eve. This resolution was also in conjunction with Mexican Indigenous communities. You also pointed out that, you know, things in Canada are a little bit different than they are in Mexico, and this could be a lot harder, especially with the human rights violation history in Mexico, for Mexican Indigenous communities. Why did you want to make this resolution in conjunction with those communities, and what comes next? It looks like there are banks and other entities that are looking at revisiting or revising their policies around FPIC. So where does the campaign go from here?
Yes. So definitely back in October, so I'm a part of a divestment team for Gidim Den Checkpoint, and that consists of myself and Chief Namox and Slato, and we have a youth, Shaylee Holland, who we work as a team, and we definitely try to connect with like other Indigenous people who are fighting for their lands, like whether that be up here in Turtle Island, and we are trying to reach to other Indigenous people around the world. And so TC Energy has projects down in Mexico. And so we got connected with the Indigenous people in Mexico, and they are opposing a couple projects in their territories. And so we definitely like want to be in solidarity with them, because what we experienced, we don't want other Indigenous communities to go through what we went through, especially in countries that it may be, I would say, like, very bluntly, like, very dangerous. You know, these companies, they get away with a lot more. You know, people are harmed, people go missing. You know, it's very, and the people who are opposing these projects, they are scared to voice or to be identified. And so that's why we feel like so strongly to be in solidarity with them and to stand by them, because in some cases, you know, in some areas, they are not able to really speak up and voice their opposition. And it was, we know the devastating effects on what these pipeline or these extraction projects bring to our lands and communities. And it affects, it really does affect like the future generations, the impact. So wherever we can solidarity with other Indigenous people and communities and lands, like we are there. And, you know, the fight isn't over. Like we were talking about, we just touched on it before, projects and industry is, you know, there's going to be one after the other. So, you know, it is very hard and tiring work, but, you know, in the climate, I guess, chaos, I would say chaos because we are heading down that path. In the state of the climate we are today, like, we definitely do not need more pipelines or, you know, clear cutting more because, like, or poisoning more waters. We need to protect the earth, and, you know, pipelines and these extraction projects do leak at one point. So we definitely need all hands on board. We need all, you know, the support we need and come together.
Okay. Eve, we'll leave it there for now, but we thank you so much for giving us your time and insight on the issue.
Okay, thank you so much.
You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook at CICK News. CICK News is made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to our producer Pam Hassan and all of our roving reporters, I'm Dan Messick. Thanks for listening.